thought that might get everybody's attention. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Girl Scout cookies. The title of this lesson is We Are Not All the Same. Neither are Girl Scout cookies. You have the higher cookies, which would be your Do-Si-Dos and your Samoas. Then you have your lower acceptable cookies, which are your Thin Mints and your whatever those things are called with peanut butter in them. That. And then I have no idea. But, you know, to somebody, you know, somebody says, hey, I'd like, you know, just some plain bread that doesn't taste like anything. Well, I could have caramel and peanut butter. Now, of course, we all disagreed on that, I assure you. My wife would fight you over Thin Mints. I would not. So we all have our favorites. But the point is this. They're all different, and they all make us happy, and they all serve a purpose. And this is where we're trying to reel you into the lesson today. Because we are not all the same. We are not all equal. But we all have a purpose. And our purpose is only fulfilled when we begin to get to work. All right, now you can go back to sleep. We are not all the same. This lesson, you will hear, I don't know how many times I have preached Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know the sermon, you know what's coming. But it doesn't make it any less true today than it is whenever the last time it is I gave the sermon. What is important is that we use our Girl Scout cookies for their intended purpose. And God has given us all gifts. We are not all the same, and we are not equal. But I will tell you this. If we all sit around and don't use our gifts, we won't be a prosperous, fruitful church for Jesus Christ. And that's the point of the lesson today. And I was listening. I was in an AA meeting the other day, because that's where I go. And I was I heard something read from the Daily Reflections, which is just a daily meditation book. And I just was struck with it. And I thought I would read it for you, and then we'll talk about it. And let me say, before I read this, this was written about 30 years ago when people used to smoke in public. So just hang on to that. It says, I understand that service is a vital part of recovery, but I often wonder, what can I do? Simply start with what I have today. I look around to see where there is a need. Are the ashtrays full? Do I have hands and feet to empty them? Suddenly I'm involved. The best speaker may make the worst coffee. The member who's best with newcomers may be unable to read. The one willing to clean up may make a mess of the bank account. Yet every one of these people and jobs is essential to an active group. The miracle of service is this. When I use what I have, I find there is more available to me than I realized before. That's the lesson. Let's empty those ashtrays. Why ashtrays? Because who wants to fool a stinky old ashtray? You know what it takes to empty an ashtray? Humility and desire. And then we don't need to elevate somebody and say, well, they've got a great skill, so I can't approach that, so I won't do anything. Or they've got a great skill, my skill won't matter. I promise you, if no one cleaned this building for about 6 months, you'd notice. In fact, it probably wouldn't take a month. The small things in life, the things that we're going to talk about this in 1 Corinthians 12, that seem to have less honor, the Bible's going to tell us, God has given those things more honor. So what can you do? The thing that you can do. We may all look around and say, I can't lead singing the way Scott does. I can't teach class the way Rick does. I can't say a word of prayer like a Brother Bill or Brother Dave. Well, okay. Well, what can you do? They probably can't do something you can. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27 says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. We're going to that chapter in just a minute. We're actually going to start Romans chapter 12, so if you're wanting to turn in your Bible, Romans 12 is where we'll be first. Well, what the Bible says is you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Do we take that seriously enough? I think there are two ways in which we don't take that seriously enough. I don't think we treat this group of Christians with the kind of value and care that we would if it were Jesus. Do we respect each one of us the way we would if Jesus were here? Where there's no difference. And then the other thing is, we are Christ's body and we are here to do His work. So if we are Christ's body and we are to do His work, why aren't we getting to it? What excuses are we using to say, I can't do Christ's work today? I love this song. It's not a great tune. It's not a great song. But it's been in my head from my youth. We are the only Bible this careless world will read. Excuse me, I tried to say. This is one of the verses of the world's Bible. It's number 460 in your book. Christ has no hands but our hands to do His work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in the way. He has no tongues but our tongues to tell men how He died. He has no help but our help to bring them to His side. When the Bible says we're Christ's body, then that means we should get to work. Would Christ ever think of coming to this world and not doing what He could do? Of course not. Then why am I not doing what I can do? Why am I not attending? Why am I not inviting? Why am I not encouraging? Why am I not cleaning? Why am I not preparing? Why am I not leading in service? Why am I not inviting people to my home? Why am I not doing those things? Would Christ just come to this world and go, eh? Not that important. If we're the body of Christ, and we are, and Christ has no other feet but our feet. He has no hands but ours. So the thing that we can do to be involved is to do the thing we can do. And then once we do that thing, I promise you this, you'll find other things that you can do. I told you we'd be in Romans chapter 12. Let's start there. Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12 are parallel chapters in a lot of ways. I would suggest to you, and if you want to talk about this later, you're welcome to do it. I would say to you that Romans chapter 12 does not include miraculous works, where 1 Corinthians chapter 12 does. So basically, Romans chapter 12 is talking about gifts that we have today, whereas 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is talking about miraculous works of the Holy Spirit. Now, to be honest with you, they're all the same. Whether I can speak in tongue, I should use it for God's glory, or whether I can clean the building, I should use it for God's glory, and that's the point of both chapters. So we'll start in Romans chapter 12. Now, the other thing that Paul is trying to get across to us in both instances is, don't forget who gave you the gift. It's God. We talk a lot about God-given ability. You talk about an athlete or someone that has God-given ability. Well, that's a good phrase. And a lot of times when we talk about somebody who can do something in the service of the Lord, that also is a God-given ability. And we should appreciate that. And we should thank Him for it. And the way that we thank our Lord and our Savior is by doing. Romans chapter 12, let's begin with verses 1 and 2. And this is kind of the theme of the chapter, which is this. I am a Christian. I am in service to Jesus Christ. What should I do? What can I give my Lord? Romans chapter 12, verse 1, a verse with which we're very familiar. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. When I come to Jesus Christ and I become a Christian, I lay my hands and my feet and my will at His feet. And I say, Lord, what you want done in this world, I will do it. That's what it means to be a Christian. It means to make Him your Lord. Means to make me a servant of Jesus Christ. So if we kind of take these two verses backwards, we want to seek what that will is. In other words, I want to find out what it is God wants me to do. And then my sacrifice, the thing that I lay on the altar, is my body, is my life. Is to say, Lord, where you point me, I will go. Like Isaiah said, right? God asked, who can I send? Isaiah's response, here am I, send me. That is physical, it's earthly, it's something we think sometimes, you know, that this is physical, we can touch it, and my body is physical, I can touch it. But what the Word of God here is telling me is, when I use my physical body to serve Jesus, that is spiritual. Right? We think of spiritual sometimes as almost mysterious, something we can't feel or touch. What the Word of God says is, when you use your body and you serve Jesus with it, that is spiritual worship. So let's look at the next few verses. Now remember, it is our service to do it. It is the will of God that we want to do. And then we need to remember that God has given us those abilities. And if He has given us those abilities, the key word in this whole text is, let us use them. Let's begin in verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. Each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts. Let's stop right there for just a moment. Having gifts. Gifts from whom? Gifts from God. We just recently studied in Luke chapter 19 about the minas, where you talk about the talents in Matthew chapter 25. Those are important lessons. They are important because who gave the mina? Who gave the talent? It is the Lord. They are His things. Should we put them in a handkerchief? Should we bury them in the ground? No. We should use them and help them to bear fruit. So God has given you whatever ability that is that you have. And I don't need to sit around and mope and say, well, my ability's not their ability. Well, big deal. Because I will tell you, we can't all be a hand. We're going to get to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We can't all be, if we only had song leaders, where would we be? Back to the text. Verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given, that's the important thing to remember here, that's given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Service and acts of mercy, those don't seem like big things. That's not preaching or teaching Bible class or leading scene or whatever you want to say. But where's the church without it? Where's the body of Christ without it? Literally, the message of the gospel cannot be extended unless a church is healthy. Unless a body of Christ is healthy. We can't proclaim the mystery of the salvation in Jesus Christ through His blood unless we are healthy and together and doing the work of the Lord. And that requires us all to do what we can. Notice that giving, contributing, is a gift from God. There are some people that are more financially blessed than others. We are not all the same. But I will tell you this, it is the obligation of the one who has money to realize from where it comes, to realize that it is a gift, and to put it to God's use. It is the one who, and some of us are just more naturally outgoing and friendly than others. Well, let's make sure we use it. Let's make sure we try and to crack that old clam that won't talk. Let's try and be more friendly. Let's let our light shine. If we see someone sitting there and they're all closed up and they don't want to talk, let's try and get it open up. Let's bring them into the body of Christ. We are to be one. We are to maintain the unity of the Spirit. That means we have it in the beginning. We need to make sure that we speak with one mouth and one mind. We need to all be one and together. We need to love each other. We need to think not more highly of ourselves than we should. We need to recognize that our gifts are from God. And then in gratitude for those gifts, we should use them. That's what Romans chapter 12 tells us. So now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and let's examine another idea about this business of we are not all the same. Because one of the problems that flares up in this is we can be jealous of God's gifts. Don't be jealous of God's gifts. Don't be. If I can't lead singing like Brother So-and-so, I don't need to be jealous of Brother So-and-so. If I can't cook like Sister So-and-so, I don't need to be jealous of Sister So-and-so. Someone may be friendlier than I am. Somebody may be better with newcomers. So someone may be better at one-on-one teaching than I am. I don't need to be jealous of that. The tendency can be, well, they just do so-and-so. Someone said something nice to so-and-so about how friendly they are to people. Well, I'm just going to well up over here like an old toad and not do nothing. Right? You think it don't happen? You know what the problem was in 1 Corinthians? One person was mad because someone else had gotten some other spiritual gift. Another person was proud because he had it. Well, congratulations, we got nothing good going on. That's the story of the whole book, by the way. Paul here gives us the way to solve all that. And that is to realize we are not the same. We have different gifts given from God. That is okay. Romans 12 tells us it is my responsibility to use the gift that I have. What 1 Corinthians chapter 12 explains to us is I need to appreciate someone's different gift. Let's read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. I've broken this down into sections and we'll try and make separate points about them. Notice here that Paul is going to talk about the division that's in Corinth, and he's going to contrast that with the oneness of the Spirit. From where do we get the message of the gospel? From the Holy Spirit. From where do these gifts come? From the Holy Spirit. What dwells in each and every Christian? The Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit many? Is the Holy Spirit different? Is the Holy Spirit divided? No, he is one. Verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Are we different? Yes. Should we be one? Yes. Because how many gods are there? One. How many Jesus is are there? One. How many spirits are there? One. Who gives the gifts? Whether they be miraculous gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 or just talents in Romans chapter 12, it is God who gives them through the power of his Spirit. So if we understand the oneness of God, what should we strive to do? To be one. And to remember that the gift does not come from me. If I have a particular ability in some way, it's not because I have it, it's because God gave it to me. And by the way, God can take it away. To God be the glory. Let's look at the next couple of verses. And Paul, I think, puts a capstone on this idea in verses 12 and 13. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. Is it the preacher's talent, or the song leader's talent, or the inviter's talent, or the private Bible studies person? Is that what got me into Christ? No. It's the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit inspired the apostles, gave us the message of the gospel. It is that that draws us to Christ. It's the same Spirit. And once we are obedient to Jesus Christ in baptism, and we are born again of water and the one Spirit, at that point we're brought into one body. That's what Paul's trying to say. We understand this from a kind of a human standpoint, about all being on the same mind. You can watch a football or a basketball team and you can tell whether they're of the same mind or not. If you have individuals on a team and they're not all playing together, they're not going to get anywhere. But if they all have the same goal and the same mind and they're all pulling in the same direction, that's one Spirit. We understand that. Well, the church is no different. What Paul is saying is the one Spirit that was responsible for bringing us to Christ, the one Spirit that dwells in us, that oneness is what we need to be eager to maintain. Because oneness is at the essence of our salvation. So why should we be divided? Now at this point, Paul tells us that we are different. We are different, but that does not mean we're not one. Let's begin to look at what Paul says about the body in verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 through verse 20. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? I'm going to stop right there because Paul is going to change here. He's going to talk about the idea that we don't need to see ourselves as less than or more than. We need to understand that we are different. If I couldn't hear, where would I be? If I couldn't see, where would I be? Who would say that a body is healthy without one of the main senses? No one would say that. So why would we come to a church and say, well, what I can do is not important? What I have to offer the body of Christ doesn't mean anything. Now, he's really going to change and begin to look at that in the next verse about the idea that we don't need to feel superior to one another. Because I have one talent and you have another does not mean I can't get along without you. Verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Look at verse 21 here. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Now, and on these parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. What's Paul saying? Paul is saying we don't need to be excited about the gift that God has given us. Now, understand, this is within the context of actual miraculous power that does not exist in the church today. Right? These people in Corinth have been laid hands upon by apostles, by men that had that ability to transmit these gifts, and they could literally speak in tongues. They could literally prophesy and give direct teaching from God. That does not occur anymore. But the problem that they had then was the same problem that we have now. One person thought, well, because I can speak in tongues, I'm better than you. And the other person thought, no, I prophesy, I'm better than you. Paul's saying, where's the body without the feet? How are you going to eat without hands? How are you going to breathe without a nose? And then he makes a comment that I think is interesting here. He talks about honorable and dishonorable parts. In other words, parts that we show and parts that we do not. There are parts of us that are better looking than others. There are other parts that are not so. And you know what we do with those? We give them greater honor. Do you know how? We cover them. We cover them. When Paul talks about having given greater honor, that's what he means. We take special care to take care of the part that needs it. Same with the body of Christ. Are there new Christians who require more care? Yes. Should we honor them by caring for them? Yes, we should. Are there those that need to be strengthened and to be rebuked? Yes. They need more care.
I think about this with being a minister, and we're not that big of a group. You know, there are some large churches out there. But I will tell you, I struggle a little bit with who to give my attention to. I can't eat dinner with every one of you every week. I can't have a private conversation with you every week. It's just not physically possible. So I will tell you that there are times when I may make over a newcomer, or I may make over a weak member more than I do you. And I will tell you why. It's because you're more honorable. You're more presentable. You don't require the same care that a newcomer does. You may not require the same care that someone who's struggling may. Now that doesn't mean, please don't misunderstand me, that doesn't mean I don't pay attention to people. But it does mean that the less desirable parts are going to require some more work sometimes. And that we need to realize that within churches. There's one other thing I want to make a point here before I pass on to the rest of the text. We need to understand that we're not all the same in leadership. We're in the process of this congregation about talking about an eldership process and doing those things. Do you know one of the most difficult parts about that for a church like us is submitting? Submitting. One of the great things about America is we like to say, "You think you're better than me." We all have that in us. You think you're better than me. You ain't better than me. You can't tell me what to do. You ain't my mama. Well, let me tell you what. After 18, 20 years of being in church without no mama, that can become pretty ingrained in. And we may be uncomfortable with the idea that there may be men better qualified than I to lead the church. We're not all gifted the same. And if the church is to operate the way God Himself wants it to operate, then we're going to have to humble ourselves to submit to men who are better than us. Not in a righteousness sense, but who are better able to do the job. Who've worked and qualified themselves to meet those things in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. Those things don't happen by accident. Those things take effort. They worked to gain our trust. And we need to trust them. That takes humility on our part. It takes humility. And it takes an understanding that if Christ's body is to work the way that Christ wants it, we need to think not more highly of ourselves than we ought and submit. Let's finish the chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 through 31. For those of you who know the text, you know where Paul is going with this, right? There's this big disagreement about speaking in tongues and prophesying and all these things and interpreting. And what Paul's saying is, look here, these things are all from God. Never forget that. These things are all from the one Spirit. Don't let these things divide you. Don't think more highly of yourself than the ought. The hand can't do without the foot. The head can't do without the elbow. We all need these things. And where he's really going is, if you loved one another, I wouldn't have to explain all this to you. We know 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as the love chapter. Well, the reason it's there is because Paul is saying that love is not selfish. Love is not jealous. love, a woman can't come into a marriage and say, well, I'm not submitting to my husband. I'm not going to do it. You can't tell me what to do. Let me tell you something else, boys. Men can't come into a marriage and say, I'm not going to listen to my wife. We both submit to one another as we submit in the church. And where Paul is going with all this is, if we showed the love of Christ like we should understand the love of Christ, I wouldn't have to be right. I would not have to write chapters 11 and 12. Verse 27. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. That's the verse that we started this lesson with. And God, who? God. Who's given the gifts? God, whether they be miraculous or whether they be talents, they are from God. And God has appointed in the church first apostles. Now, as I read this list, I think it's interesting. Notice the very last thing he lists, because these are ranks within the church. And some are greater than others. Within the context of the study, notice the very last thing he talks about. Because what he's saying is, the most important thing the church needed was apostles first. Without apostles, we don't have the word. Without apostles, we don't have the gospel. Without apostles, we don't have the Bible. So first, of first importance, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. Then miracles. Then gifts of healing, helping, administering, and various tongues. How does the section start? Arguing about who can speak in tongues. Disorder over speaking in tongues. Paul is saying that's the least important thing, or the least important miraculous gift God has ever given. It has its place. It's something the church needed in a way. But the whole thing is he's trying to humble these people. He's trying to humble them to love each other. And that's where he goes next. Verse 29. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Acts chapter 6 tells us what happens if you have only all apostles. If you have all apostles, you don't get anybody fed. That was the problem there in Acts chapter 6. There was an unequal distribution of the food. The Hellenistic Jews and their widows felt like they were being left out, were being left out. So what the apostles say is, this is a different duty. This is something that is not the same as being an apostle, but it is a job that needs to be done if the body is to prosper. So we will take men that are not us, set them apart, and have them do that job. Were they above the apostles? No. Were they greater than the apostles? No. Could the church get by without them? Also, no. And who gave them any of this anyway? What did Jesus say to Peter in Matthew chapter 16? Who had given him this? He said that God had given him that message that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who gave the Holy Spirit? God. Who gave the apostles the ability to speak through inspiration? God. Who gave them the ability to perform miracles? God. Who gives us the ability to do the things we can do today? To teach or to preach or sing or to pray or invite or to encourage or to welcome? It is Jehovah God that has given us those gifts. It is our job to use them. Verse 31. But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I will show you a still more excellent way. The excellent way he's talking about is chapter 13. In fact, he begins the chapter by saying, I can speak in tongues and prophesy and do all these things. If I have not love, I have become as a tinkling brass or a sounding gong, I believe is the King James of it. Meaningless. Meaningless. I don't care how well you can sing. If you don't love, it doesn't mean anything. I don't care how well you can preach or teach Bible class. I don't care how much talent you have in teaching someone around a kitchen table. If you have not love, the church is not going to function. What does love do? Love puts the needs of others above itself. How do we know that? For God so loved the world, he gave us a great example of it.
What sin did Jesus have to pay for?
What crime had he done? What had Jesus done that deserved the cross? What had Jesus done that required the shedding of his blood? Was he better than me? Oh, yes. Yes, Jesus was and is better than me. He was God in heaven. He was God when he lived on this earth. He was going to be God when he left this earth. My baptism does nothing to give Jesus anything. Philippians chapter 2 says that Jesus was God in heaven, and he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You know why he thought it not robbery? Because he had it in his hand. He had equality with God there. Coming to earth did not give Jesus anything. It cost him everything. And why did he do it? Because I need it. Because you need it. If I love you that way, if I consider your needs higher than mine, if I try not to overcome evil with evil, but evil with good, if I live the way Jesus lived, then there will be no fighting. There will be no striving. There will be one. All different, serving different purposes, but like our body, all walking in the same direction. All walking in the light, all walking with Jesus. If you've never become a Christian, you've never been brought into the spiritual body of Christ, you're outside of it. If the Lord comes or you die, the judgment day will come for you at that moment. And you will have to answer to God for the sacrifice that he gave. Do you want to stand before God and say, you know, I appreciate you sacrificed your son on the cross and everything, but I got along fine without him. Don't do that. The reason we have these invitations is to give you the opportunity to save your soul from that fate. Be able to say to God in the final day, yes, Lord, my spiritual worship was to give everything in my life to your son. And I have done so. And that begins with your faith, your repentance, your confession of Jesus Christ as your Lord, and beginning to serve him and letting God wash away your sins in baptism. If you've been involved in sin, or you've been caught in a sin that maybe you didn't see coming, and you don't have the strength to overcome it, and you need to repent and ask for prayers, if we can help you in any way, baptism or repentance, please come forward as we stand and we sing.